Hey, thanks for listening to the Shift Your Spirits podcast. I'm your host, Slade Robertson. For 11 years, I've been a professional intuitive and the author of the blog Shift Your Spirits, where I try to write about spirituality with fewer hearts and flowers than most new age blather. I also mentor emerging intuitives, psychics, and healers in a program called Automatic Intuition. Today, I want to share some creepy dream possession experiences I've been having. Yeah. And of course, as always, I have an oracle segment at the end of the show. So be thinking about a question or a concern you have. Hold it in your mind, and I'll come back on at the end of the show after the final links and credits and leave you with an extra message. But before I forget, it's August 1st, 2017, as I record this, and over the weekend, the Shift Your Spirits podcast did indeed cross 10,000 downloads. It's cool to stop and think that what you're doing right now has happened over 10,000 times in just the last 4 months. That's kind of mind-boggling. This double new moon in Leo eclipse month thing seems to be really messing with me. I am a Leo, so I've heard, you know, that it's especially difficult for Leos. I'm struggling with my writing at the moment. I'm a working writer. I have been for over a decade. I write specific hours every day. It's a job. It has taken me by surprise to be struggling with my process all of a sudden out of nowhere. And I don't want to be someone who complains and feels no joy in the thing that I do every day, that I identify as my purpose and who I am. So, you know, that's just not happening. That's not an option. So I have decided to back off a little and take some time and energy to redecorate and reorganize my study. I spend way too much of my life working and creating and communicating from a room that's disorganized and a little depressing and just crammed with random stuff. It's one of those ugly spare rooms many of us have that became my workspace by default. It just hasn't been shown the love and the intention, and I'm hoping that since I'm struggling with an internal process, the solution may be to shift the physical external environment to better represent how I want to feel on the inside. You've probably heard the How to F Up Your Ability to Manifest episode. It's the most downloaded episode of this show ever. So you'll know that one of my rules is if you want to state a complaint about how horrible your life is, you must attach a possible solution. So that's how I'm going to handle this, and I'll keep you posted. Also, another big milestone, August 1st is also my blog's birthday. 11 years ago today, I sat right here in this very spot in a completely different life, and I posted my first post, You Are God, Act Like It. And with that one message released into the collective, my life began to change drastically for the better, and I became this person that you know now. And I want to take a moment to also shout out to Scott Vaughn, who is my newest supporter on Patreon. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate all of you who have pledged your support. It demonstrates that you're enjoying the show and want it to continue, and that's very encouraging to me. You too can support my time in producing this show and the young woman who is creating our transcripts by pledging on Patreon for as little as a dollar a month. Listeners who support on Patreon can also access bonus Q&A episodes where you send in questions, I record answers to them, and they go out to patrons of the show exclusively. So if you want to find out how you can become a patron, especially if you would like the transcription to continue, please go to patreon.com/shiftyourspirits, and that's spelled patreon.com/shiftyourspirits. I'm going to cut this introduction here. This episode is a little bit longer than the others, and maybe you will like that, or maybe you want me to keep them short. You can write and tell me how you feel about the show length. But for now, I want to share some personal experiences with you about my dreams. I don't dream very much. You know, like most of you probably have stress dreams about your everyday life, or You have these dreams that are very whimsical and full of symbolic, wacky stuff that doesn't make much sense. And, you know, the kind of thing that you explain to somebody the next day and tell them this cool story about, oh my God, I had this dream last night and it was really weird and this thing happened and that this other thing happened. And, you know, being on the outside of that, looking in, I am always a little bit annoyed by people who tell you long, drawn out, blow by blow dream stories, unless it's like about you or there's some really significant punchline and they're pretty good at telling stories. But the people who kind of dump this sort of old school psychiatrist dream info dump analysis scenario on you, like on your lunch break or whatever, that always has annoyed me. And I wonder if one of the reasons why I'm annoyed by it is because I'm a little jealous. I'm envious. It doesn't really happen to me. Of course, there are exceptions, and I'm speaking in really general terms, but I don't really dream. And when I say that, I put an asterisk there and a footnote. And what I mean by I don't dream much is either I'm not aware that I'm dreaming when it's happening, or I don't remember it. I don't have any kind of recall about it later or since that it happened. I am a light sleeper, meaning, you know, I'll wake up really easily if someone is making a noise or something like that. I'm very noise averse. I do almost sensory deprivation when I sleep. I wear earplugs. I wear a visual mask, you know, a little velvet mask over my eyes to block light. I like white noise, but even that has gotten to the point where that bothers me as well. So, but I will say this, I'm a very regular sleeper. I sleep the exact same number of hours. Every night I go to bed at the same time, get up at the same time, 7 days a week. My internal clock is like within 10 minutes. I rarely use an alarm clock. I wake up at the same time just automatically. And once I'm awake, I'm awake and I get up. Like I don't really like to be in bed. But, you know, just that's to kind of give you some context about where I'm coming from. I'm not an insomniac or, you know, I don't have any issues around sleep really at all, other than I'm very protective of it. But I am sort of jealous of people who have daily symbolic sort of stream of consciousness, you know, films happening in their interior that they can get up the next day and think about. And obviously, you know, I have exceptions to this. I recently mentioned on one of the episodes of this show when I was talking about signs and synchronicities, when all that was happening, I did actually have this really super symbolic, very aware of it when I woke up dream about the giant snail hovering in the sky. And I was able to look that up. But, you know, I don't really have those kind of dreams where you can look it up when you wake up. And, you know, I would like to have that sort of dream life, because I feel like it's one of these tools within the kind of intuitive realm where it's a whole channel that I don't have. I'm like somebody who doesn't have cable or doesn't have Netflix or something. I'm like missing this whole psychological, intuitive, creative platform. I just don't have access to it. And so, I don't know. There's different theories about this. I had one person tell me that maybe because of the kind of work that I do, that that I've become used to slipping in and out of certain kinds of consciousness states in my daily waking life that other people don't access. And it's one of the reasons why people want to meditate more or, you know, do sort of mindfulness activities, and that I actually have incorporated that so much into my sort of work life that maybe there's something that other people don't get that they only get when they dream. And so maybe that's been sort of messed up in some way, or not messed up. I don't want to say there's anything wrong with me. I just think it's different. Or it could be, I don't know. I don't know. If you have a theory, you can write and tell me if you have some kind of feeling about it. But anyway, I'm not that stressed about it. I have kind of given up thinking about it, but I do feel a little bit apologetic about the fact that I don't write about dreams and I don't do a lot of dream analysis conversations, and it doesn't come up a lot in readings. If people approach me about that subject, or, you know, I get like requests to write certain article topics or to do shows about certain topics. And that might be one of those areas that people are like, ooh, do something about, you know, dream analysis or dream symbolism. And, people often write in asking for me to do sessions that are sort of launched or prompted by analyzing dreams that they've had and wanting to know what they mean. And so I feel like it's one of those areas that I just don't have access to. I don't think we all have to do everything. There's a few things I don't do. I don't do mediumship. I don't do dream work. And I don't do a lot of past life stuff. And so I'm a little disappointing in those areas if you're hoping to get a lot from me. But the good news is, one of the reasons why I wanted to record this episode and tell you about some dream stuff that's happening with me that is a little bit fantastical and interesting is because I've had it on my brain. I'm getting ready to interview someone for the show, Ash Riley, actually, and she and I have done a little bit of pre-conversation about where we want to take the conversation that would be interesting for you guys. And she mentioned dream work and how that is something that she's focusing on a lot right now. And I thought, cool, this is my opportunity to bring that to you guys through someone else's expertise, if not mine. But so I'm going to interview Ash, and likely you're listening to this either right before the episode with her or right after. I'll put them somewhere close together because they came together in my mind in creating them. So anyway, I wanted, and I got into the conversation actually a little bit with Ash in Messenger, and we were texting back and forth, and I was telling her about, you know, this, what I'm telling you right now, that I don't dream, except I have some really cool exceptions, but I do want to say this, you know, as an adult, I rarely, almost never have nightmares or bad dreams, like ever. That's just not a part of something that I experience, and so I'm very thankful for that. But at the same time, I also don't have very many cool, like, Inception-like, surrealist fantasy dreams either. So I don't really have anything in either extreme too much. But I used to have bad dreams a lot when I was a little kid, mostly about my brother. I would have a lot of fearful dreams about him because he was very accident prone. He was kind of a disaster kid, and I was usually the one that was with him when the 911 would go down, you know, whether or not we were out playing somewhere or whatever. So I had a lot of anxiety about him getting hurt and me having to rescue him. So of course, you know, I had dreams about that a lot. The other thing that I remember from childhood about dreams was when I was a little kid, I took books to bed. I don't remember ever having an interest in stuffed animals, but books to me had a kind of quality that maybe other people project onto their stuffed animals. And I think books kind of had like these little spirit animal souls to them or something. So I also remember very distinctly throughout my entire life, from the earliest memories that I have, feeling like if I read just before falling asleep, which I do religiously, it's part of how I do fall asleep. If I read while I'm falling asleep and I have a book in my presence, in my bed with me, that there's a really good chance that I can slip into the world of the book through my dreams. And, you know, like, I always want this to happen now about my own novels. I'm always working on fiction somewhere over on another corner of my life. And one of the things I've noticed is it tends to be the very last thing that I think about when I'm falling asleep, because I'll be reading someone else's fiction up to the point that I become sleepy. And then As I kind of turn out the light and put my book away and take my glasses off and rearrange the pillows and then kind of go in for that last little bit of wakefulness before I sleep, I will think about my own books and, you know, the scenes that are coming up that I have to write and something that I am worrying about or trying to figure out, trying to make sense of. And so I did have this one really cool experience. Only one time have I ever dreamed my way into one of my own books. And I kind of think that deep down, this is what I'm hoping will happen when I'm thinking about, I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe I'll fall asleep and I'll fall into my dream world and I will, figure something out about, like, the book will happen for me like a movie, and then I can just get up tomorrow and be like, oh, that was amazing, I'm gonna write that. So it only happened to me one time when I was working on the novel Havenwood, which is a historical fantasy. There is a sort of a plantation in the main character's world. She owns a farm, and there is a long section in the book where she's actually working in the fields with her workers, so, you know, as one of them. And I did have this really amazing dream that was a flyover drone shot of the scene of her working in the fields in this line of, actually, they're elves who work for her. So that was really cool. And I remember it being very lucid. And as I was kind of hovering over them, I was like, oh my God, there are my elves. They look amazing. It was like the first time that anyone had ever sort of CGI movie effects shown me my own imagination in a way that felt like I was an audience for it. And it's kind of hard to describe when you tell someone, like, I know what these creatures look like and I can describe them, but I also don't see them the way that you see something on screen in a movie. And so even if, you know, if someone ever were to make a movie of something that I'd written, I would have the same experience anyone else has with, like, seeing it for the first time adapted in some kind of visual way. So anyway, these are the kinds of things I think about around dreaming. But so obviously there are a few cool exceptions. So when I say I don't dream, there's a dot, dot, dot. But, you know, once in a while I have these kind of cool, you know, sort of scenarios happen. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this on this episode, and the point, which I do have and I am getting to, is that lately I've started to dream just a little bit more frequently. And by that, I want to say, quantify that as sort of here and there, maybe a few times a month. And this has been, let's say, in the last 6 months or so. My dreams are not sort of freaky versions of my life. They're actually very normal dreams about other people's lives. Like, this episode is about the fact that I have a theory. I'm beginning to believe that I dream that I'm other people. And that these people are probably real. Like, they exist somewhere out there in the world, and that I am picking up on them or walking into their life in some way. I've heard people say that, you know, astral travelers are, the theory that ghosts might actually be people who are astral traveling. And one of the reasons why ghosts always appear to be in, like, in nightgowns and stuff is because they're sleeping. They're sleeping people who are astral projecting from, you know, another part of the world or whatever. I don't even know where I heard that, but it's an interesting idea. It would make a cool movie. But so I've been having these dreams that really make me think, okay, wait a minute. I think something's actually going on here. And I want to tell you about one that I had a few months ago that really freaked me out. And it was so exceptional that I also told a friend of mine about it, and it became like a whole thing. And it went down in my notebook, and I'm just now getting around to talking about it to you guys. But a few months ago, I had a dream about a waitress. And I had a dream that I was a waitress. And I knew lots of circumstances about my life. I knew that, you know, I was working in some kind of chain restaurant. It felt like an Applebee's or like an Outback Steakhouse or something like that. I was a little bit older, you know, like maybe in my late 20s, like at an age when people go back to school. And I had worked at sort of cooler places before as a waitress, and I was sort of not happy about working in this sort of chain environment because I didn't feel like the tips were as good. And I was just generally kind of depressed about it. And I was in nursing school. I had gone back to school and I had decided I was going to go into nursing, and I was probably having some kind of like Saturn return, you know, late 20s, early 30s kind of life crisis, because I remember very distinctly feeling this sense of ennui about this shift at Applebee's or whatever, and also knowing that I was doing this because I was in nursing school, and I wasn't really excited about the nursing school thing either. I was kind of going through the motions, and I was depressed, you know? So anyway, there's this guy that I'm waiting on and at one of my tables, and he's a little creepy. He's not creepy in a sleazy kind of way, like looks like a, you know, wanted poster or anything like that. He was actually kind of nice and clean cut looking, but he was a little too like dead in the eyes, even though he was smiley. And he was flirting, not in a gross, like super obnoxious way, but he was just overly friendly and kind of leering. And he just, you know, he just creeped me out. And I was really anxious to sort of get rid of him and give him his check and send him on his way. And it wasn't really busy. It was like an early shift before, you know, a lot of dinner crowd. There was like one little family, and, you know, then this guy was by himself. And anyway, long story short, he was kind of rattling me to the point where I just didn't really want to go back to his table. And I finally had dropped his bill. And so I went to this other waitress and I told her what was going on, and I described the way that he was making me feel and everything. And she said, well, I'll watch the table and I'll run his card or whatever. Why don't you just, you know, like go take a break, go to the bathroom or something. Just don't even bother interacting with him, and maybe he'll be gone by the time you get back. And so, I was like, yeah, cool. And I went to the bathroom, and here's where the part where it really freaks me out. I always have a sense when I'm having these dreams that I'm other people, I'm in their body, so I'm not seeing myself from outside the body, but I do have moments where I look down and I notice like, I have like a girl's hands, or, I have, you know, I'm a different skin color or something like that. So I see my clothes, I see things sort of out of my peripheral vision. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this before, but I've never, ever had a dream where I was like looking in a mirror. I can't think of any instance where that's ever happened. So I go in this bathroom, and at that moment, I realize that I'm lucid dreaming. I'm aware that I'm the dreamer, even as I'm aware that I am this girl. And I know as she's walking towards the mirror, I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm going to get to see what she looks like. And I'm sort of waiting for that moment when her eyes will pan up and make contact in the mirror, and I will get to see what she looks like. And there's a sense of nervousness about it, because I'm kind of thinking, wait a minute. I can't see myself in a dream and see another face looking at me. This is going to be really weird. And as she gets close to the mirror and looks up, it actually feels painful to me, like a migraine kind of pain. Or actually, it felt a lot like when your eyes are super dilated from being to the eye doctor. I remember one time they just really dilated the crap out of my eyes, like to the point where it was almost painful. And it was like that kind of feeling. And like this feeling of like, please don't make me look at myself. Like I can't do this. And thinking, surely there's going to be a cutaway. Something's going to happen and break this moment. I'm not actually going to look at myself in the mirror and see someone else looking back. And I did. I distinctly saw, and I was like squinting. It was like the light hurt, and it hurt to see this face looking back at me. But I saw who I was very distinctly. I had blonde hair, and, you know, like I said, I was sort of in my late 20s, and relatively attractive young woman, sort of depressed looking, you know, kind of tired. Like she hadn't really gone to much trouble to sort of make herself, you know, how you just sort of go through the motions of like what's acceptable for you to look like when you go to work and you're not feeling it, you know, like she looked sort of harassed and kind of tired. And but I saw her distinctly, and the whole time I'm thinking, oh my God, I am someone else. I'm dreaming I'm someone else's life. And so at that point, I sort of slip away from the lucid part and go back into her a little bit. And I think there was a little bit of a time jump in the dream, you know, as dreams do. It sort of cuts like a television show. And I'm finally off work and I'm leaving. And I'm walking outside and I'm somewhere desert. This is a desert environment. I would say most likely Arizona. And the reason why I thought it was Arizona, because that's the one kind of state in the Southwest that I've been to that looks like what this looked like. But, you know, we've all seen a lot of TV, and so we know what that part of the country looks like, and it's definitely that part of the country. But I am getting into my car, and I'm, you know, going home or whatever. It's kind of not super late in the evening, but it, you know, it is nighttime. The sky has a kind of glow to it. It's more lit up than I think it would be in Tennessee, which is where I live right now, probably because of the flatness of the geography or something. So I'm noting all these things as the dream is happening to me. And I get in my car and I start driving. I want to say north. And there's really nothing once I start driving away from this sort of little area off the highway where there's like, you know, restaurants and convenience stores and, you know, hotels and all that kind of stuff that there is off any interstate, you know, in the United States. I'm sort of driving away from that, going towards an area that looks more sparsely populated. And I get a few miles down the road and I run out of gas. My car is like sputtering and I pull over and I'm thinking this is impossible. Like I distinctly remember getting gas, like, you know, maybe 2 days ago max. And I feel this really weird panic because my first thought is like, all the gas has drained out of my car. Like, how is this possible? Like, it's gone somewhere. Somebody took my gas, or else it's been some hose or something somewhere has come undone, and like all the gas has spilled out of my car. And you know, that was my sense. My sense was not like, what's wrong with the car, or you know, or oh crap, I ran out of gas. You know, like it was something I could accept. I knew, she knew that something was like really, really wrong with the scenario. And I get out of the car and I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, do I keep walking home or do I try to walk back to sort of civilization? I think I was sort of somewhere kind of halfway in between, and it was going to be potentially a hike either way. And I'm thinking, oh, but I, you know, I don't want to leave my car on the side of the road and all this kind of stuff, you know, is going through my head. And someone pulls over to help me, and it's the guy, the creepy guy from the restaurant. And I'm thinking, oh crap, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I definitely, it made all the hairs kind of stand up on my arms and on the back of my neck. And I was getting like a creeped out feeling. But more than anything, I was a little bit annoyed feeling, like, oh, here he is, and he's like smiling, and you can tell he's just so thrilled to be able to help me in this scenario. And he has like this whole excuse to interact with me again. And so the thing is, though, is, you know, he's trying to convince me. He's being very sweet and very nice and very low key. He's like, listen, you know, obviously, you know, I can take you back. We can get some gas. I have a gas can, or I can take you back and you can call someone. He's not being super obnoxious about it, but he is trying to convince me, like, you know, like, just get in the car and let me take you with me. And I'm kind of okay, you know, convinced. I'm thinking I'm being overly paranoid. If I hadn't had seen this guy earlier in the evening and had this interaction with him, I probably wouldn't feel afraid. But it's something about the synchronicity of it being him was bothering me a little bit. But I gave in to it, and I got in the car, and he's being really chatty and really friendly like he was in the restaurant, but he's not driving back towards town. He's driving out away in the direction that I was originally going, but he's going on. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute, you know, trying to figure out a way to kind of say, wait a minute, weren't you going to go the other direction without sounding panicked, you know, trying to be nonchalant about it. And, I look over, I kind of glance over at him. I'm trying not to like look at him too much or whatever. I'm sort of trying to stare ahead and act like, oh crap, what's going on? I got to get myself out of this situation. And I glance over and he has his hand on his lap, kind of inside his thighs, and there's a gun in his hand. And he has it laying there in his lap for me to see. And at that moment, the fear like drove me out of this woman's body and out of this dream. And I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, that's a person. Like something really happened to this person and I'm dreaming it. And I don't know if it happened at the moment that I was dreaming it or if it's something, you know, like, I mean, not to toot my own horn or anything, but one of the things that I don't do is like, you know, police detective psychic work where I find missing people or something like that. I've never had that kind of experience. And the first thing that crossed my mind was, what if this is a straight up like medium, you know, the TV show kind of scenario where I'm picking up on some kind of criminal information that's very valuable and real. And that was my first thought. And so it's Sunday morning when I wake up, and I always go to breakfast with my friend Tina every Sunday morning. And Tina is a friend of mine I mention often because she's very much into paranormal investigation, and she has a lot of supernatural sort of experience happen in her house a lot. So we always end up talking about this stuff, especially if something happened during the week. And she often has, you know, little creepy things that happen to her that she loves to tell me about. And so I, of course, was like telling her this whole story just as I'm telling it to you guys. And she immediately goes into like, this is a real thing. Like, this is really happening. You need to look this up. Is there some way we can Google for this woman? Is there some kind of missing persons thing? So we're sitting there in the restaurant where we have breakfast and on the smartphone looking for missing persons listings for Arizona. You know, that's kind of like the first thing we start with. And so I really quickly found out that there are actually missing persons groups on Facebook, and they're organized by state. And so Tina's like, well, let's look, you know, scroll through here and see if you see this person. Would you know her if you saw her? And I said, you know what? I absolutely know her if I see her. I saw her in the mirror. If I see her face, I will recognize her. And so I'm scrolling through there and I'm really expecting that I'm going to see a picture of this woman and be like, oh my God, it's her, you know? And I'm scrolling through there and I'm, the thing that I was really struck by is how no one even came close to looking like this woman. None of the listings were for anybody that I'd even think, ooh, could that be her? Maybe that's her. Like nothing was even close. You know, it was like a child or, you know, an elderly woman who was, you know, Latino or something, like just completely not anything that I was anticipating seeing. And I think my fear in this moment was, okay, what if there's a whole bunch of people that are kind of close to this woman's description and I'm going to have a hard time deciding, could that be her? Could that not be her? But I have to tell you guys, I spent, you know, that whole day, and then it started to really bother me and haunt me the more that I couldn't find a, you know, record of her in some way, the more stressed I got about it. And the more I started to look and go into other states groups and look in New Mexico and look in, you know, Utah and just anywhere that I thought might have that landscape, just thinking, you know, the synchronicity of this is too powerful for me to not follow through on it. It has to mean something. And, I couldn't find her. I never found her. And the thing is I never even found anything close. It was a total bust. And I thought, all right, well, spirits, if this is your way of giving me some police detective, psychic kind of, you know, bit of information, this is horrible because I can't do anything with it. I can't even be the crazy person that randomly calls a police station and reports something. And I've heard that, you know, psychics call in and report things to detectives all the time. And I didn't even really, like, who would I call to do that? Even if I wanted to just make some kind of random, like, put it out there sort of phone call. But anyway, this one has really stuck with me as being significant, partly because of the fact that I saw her, and secondly, because part of me believes that the reason why I could have been picking up on it is because it was happening at that moment, and that could have explained why it wasn't, you know, a story yet posted on a website. You know, it could have been sometime later. I don't know. Even as I'm telling you this, I'm feeling like maybe I need to go back and look again. Like, now it could be this, you know, missing persons cold case or something. But so, you know, and my whole thing is, why would I dream this? Why would I dream something so specific and, you know, about another person to this degree? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. I know what it feels like to have a normal dream where I'm like working and it's tedious and it's weird and doesn't make sense when I wake up, but, you know, there it is. Since having this experience, I also have had a few other examples, and they're not anything that interesting or significant. They're like I said, I don't have freaky dreams about my own life. I kind of have these normal dreams about other people's lives. And so just to try to pull up a couple of examples, because I usually don't even remember them for very long after I have them. But I recently dreamt that, you know, I was in Amsterdam and I was some kind of architecture or interior design person, and I was at some kind of conference in Amsterdam, and I was out having drinks with other people in my field, and we were all speaking German, and I don't know if, like, I felt like German was not my language necessarily, but for some reason, like, either a lot of the other people at the table were German, there was some reason why we were speaking German, and I recognized that I was speaking German because it's a language that I've taken a little bit of, you know. And then at one point, you know, in this bar, I run into this guy from high school, which I don't even think that's the right term, because I think we're all Europeans in this dream and I don't think they call it high school, but I ran into this guy who knew me from my home, who was a teenager, and I'm a man in this dream, but I'm like a completely different age, and I'm from somewhere, I want to say like Hungary, maybe. And this guy recognized me from school, and I remember being sort of annoyed that I had to talk to him and do that whole, like, oh my God, you know, like, how are you? It's been 10 years. And, you know, that whole, like, thing. And he wasn't somebody that I really liked very much or wanted to, you know, have that whole pissing contest with. And he was kind of a douchebag and, you know, obviously trying to impress me. And the one thing that I noticed as I'm dreaming it is that we switched languages and he was speaking to me in another language. And I don't really recognize this language. It definitely sounds Slavic to my ear. I've studied German and Russian, and there are a lot of Eastern European languages that sound, you know, vaguely similar to Russian. So I knew it was a Slavic tongue from one of the smaller sort of Eastern European countries, and that was my like native tongue. That was my first language. And there was a sense of like relief and flow about that language. In my mind as the lucid dreamer, I know what's being said. I sort of just claircognizantly understand what's being said, even as I can hear that this is a foreign language that I don't speak. And so that was just like a dream, you know, that I had 1 month. And then maybe the next month after that, I had another dream that I was staying in this hotel with a friend of mine who was like a girl that worked with me. And I know this sounds really cheesy, but I think we were models and we were possibly like British. We were European and I think we were speaking English, but we were in Tokyo. We're in Japan, and we're in this really nice, fancy hotel that we've been put up in as part of a job. And we've been out partying, and apparently, like, maybe our job there is over, and we're supposed to check out of the hotel, and we're actually overstaying. You know, it's like you have to check out by a certain time, and we are literally just too wasted and hung over and just rode hard to get it together and, you know, pack and all this stuff. And I remember laying there just, you know, like feeling horrible. And my friend is kind of like chattering away. And I'm just waiting for there to be a knock at the door and for, you know, the hotel management to come and throw us out. And I'm thinking, you know, I've got to convince her we need to like pull it together and get out of here because they're going to throw us out. And yeah, so that dream doesn't really lead anywhere either. But those are just like the two that I can think of in this moment as I'm recording that show you how I have these really specific dreams and I'm other people in really specific places and I know a lot of details about their lives. And these are not dreams about me, and they're not dreams from a past life or, you know, something like that. They're just kind of like I'm tuning in to someone else. Like I'm just wandering around the globe in my sleep, slipping into someone's dream life in some way. And here's something really weird. I have a friend who's a long-term friend of mine. We work together in a metaphysical bookstore, so we've had lots of conversations about metaphysical things, and she's a dreamer. She's a big-time dreamer. And she will regularly, you know, maybe once a year or something like that, she'll send me a message on Facebook and say, you were in my dream last night, and we hung out and had coffee, and we talked about blah, 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 and it was really cool to see you. And it's kind of half in jest, but to her, like she says, she really does feel like I visited her in some way. And I'm thinking, well, that's cool because I don't really have that experience at all. But if you have it, you know, that's fine. So it's kind of weird because it's been this ongoing sort of joke, at least with her, that I travel around and visit her in my sleep. And I'm thinking, what if I do that in some other kind of way? What if this is like an intuitive channel that maybe other people have this experience? Like, I know if you're listening to this and you've had this experience, I'm going to hear from you, and I want you to email me and tell me. You don't have to tell me like your whole dream or whatever. I mean, just tell me if this happens to you at all and what you think is going on here. Because my feeling from having been told by a psychotherapist that there may be something different with the way that I'm compartmentalizing different levels of consciousness and how I use them, that there may be some things that I do when I'm awake that I then don't do when I'm asleep. And if so, maybe that allows me to isolate this thing that happens to all of us. Like, think about it. Maybe in the midst of your super populous dream life, because you're one of those people who has, you know, these colorful, wacky dreams every night of your life, and you have a whole variety of like stress dreams and running from people dreams and, you know, sex dreams and whatever it might be, you also somewhere in that mix, you might be slipping into these dreams that you're other people, and maybe you're not even really aware of it. Maybe you think it's just you're you. But think about it. And I'm going to ask Ash about it, see what she says when she's on the show, because I'm definitely going to talk to her about dream stuff. So I feel like this will come up, and I'll try not to like retell the whole story because that'll be really irritating. Maybe I'll send her this before we speak or something like that. But anyway, yeah, just a theory, just a thought, just a weird little thing that I want to share with you guys, because I think about sharing it all the time, and I'm like, where do you start with this subject? And so I want to say, just as a PS, that I always feel like I felt the same way about the episode that I did about signs, because you have a lifetime of dreaming. You have a lifetime of signs and synchronicities. So, you know, where do you go in and start a conversation about that? And so my feeling is I just kind of have to hit record and plop down and just tell you whatever kind of comes up, you know, what's on, most on the surface of my mind. So this doesn't really represent the best examples ever, other than the weird story about seeing my own face in the dream and being someone else. That was the reason why I picked that story for sure. I don't think that I'll ever forget that dream. But yeah, write me. Tell me if I'm like onto something here or if you've had this experience. I'd love to hear from you. All right. I'll shut up now. Talk to you later. Thanks again for listening to the Shift Your Spirits podcast. For show notes, links, transcripts, and all the past episodes, please visit shiftyourspirits.com. You can subscribe in iTunes or Stitcher or whatever app you use to access podcasts. You don't have to use the purple button on your iPhone. Some people don't like that app. My personal favorite podcast app is Overcast, so go check that one out. If you'd like to get an intuitive reading with me or download a free ebook and meditation to help you connect with your guides, please go to sladeroberson.com. And if you're interested in my professional intuitive training program, you can start the course for free by downloading the attunement at automaticintuition.com. Before I go, I promise to leave you a message in answer to a question or concern you may have. And this week, when I looked at the very first Shift Your Spirits post from August 1st, 2006, I realized it was an oracle message. It spoke to me that way across the years, so I'm thinking it might speak to you as well. So take a moment to think about your own issue, hold it in your mind, or speak it out loud. I'll pause for just a few seconds right now. Your creativity and your divinity are one and the same. You most resemble God, the creator, the ultimate, all-encompassing, whatever you want to call it, expression of all that is, when you are co-creating your unique reality. Don't get stuck on the word creative and think I'm only talking about art. Think bigger, more generally. If you think you don't create, you're wrong. You're creating your reality each and every moment. It's inevitable and unavoidable. Creativity is inherent. It's imminent. In Genesis, God literally assigned Adam, man, human beings, a role in creation, to name everything. That's our job, to continuously explore and define all of reality. Reality is information, and the ultimate goal of information is to saturate all creation. Thoughts are tools. Words are their handles. What words are you wielding? Do they reflect how you want to feel? I'll talk to you later.